make Mike a little upset. There are times I don't sing. And I'm not encouraging everyone to do this at the same time, but every now and then, maybe for about 10 or 15 seconds, just kind of pause and close your eyes and listen to those singing around you. It is a beautiful moment. Thank you for leading us this morning. The praise team is just, y'all really, really blessed me, and thank you so much for leading us to worship this morning. My name is Chad Bixler. In case you don't know me, I'm the youth and missions pastor here at Bear Creek, and I have the honor of sharing with you this morning the scriptures that God has placed upon my heart. I want to thank Pastor Scott for allowing me to stand in his pulpit this morning to share with you some words from the scripture. If you wouldn't mind, if you would turn to your copy of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be discussing some scriptures there. It's been a little while since I've gotten to preach on a Sunday morning, so I'm excited about that. My sermon message this morning is called Serving Faithfully. And typically, the first seven verses of what we're going to go through, a lot of times we think of this in regards to basically only ministers, those who have surrendered to the ministry. And I want us to understand that is not exactly true. It is definitely for that, but it also applies to all of us as followers of Christ. There's some great examples in these scriptures of how we should live and serve faithfully to our Father. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read all seven verses really quickly, and then we're going to go back and kind of dissect each of those verses. So if you wouldn't mind, look at your copy of God's Word. I'm actually going to be preaching from the New American Standard Bible version this morning instead of the ESV like I normally do. But it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We are so thankful for your written word. We are so thankful in the time that we live that we have all of your written word. Father, we ask that you be with us this morning. Help us to understand your word. In your name I pray. Amen. I love these scriptures. I direct a boys camp. I've been doing that now for probably about, 11 or 12 years, maybe even longer. And we had actually one of our themes that a year not too awful long ago. And the actual verse that was the theme for that year was verse 4. And it's just a beautiful set of scriptures that we can look at and see how we are supposed to serve faithfully. It is a call that has been placed upon all of us as followers to share the gospel with others and then to help teach and preach that to others as well, and to be encouraging to them in the faith. So what I want to do is I want to kind of go back to verse 1. And it says verse 1 again. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus." The first thing I kind of want us to look at is my son. Now, Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy here. Timothy is not his actual son. He is speaking more along the side of his spiritual son. Paul loved Timothy dearly. And Timothy, loved Paul greatly. And there was a beautiful relationship between the two. And Paul was sharing with Timothy the things that he had learned over his years and the time that he had spent with God, and he was pouring that into Timothy. And Timothy loved to have this mentor in his life to share with him these things so he could learn and then entrust that to other people. Since he wasn't actually Timothy's father, the word son was speaking more spiritually, like I said a while ago. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 says, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith." Paul loved Timothy greatly, and it was that father-son type of relationship as far as the spiritual side of things. And Timothy wanted to mimic some of the things that Paul did. If you really think about it, most of your kids look up to your father, and they want to mimic certain things about them. And what we as fathers want is for them to mimic the good things that we do. Now, we are human. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do. But our goal is to not do that. Our goal is to train them up to be good boys and girls, to be good followers of Christ. You know, I am very fortunate. My father is one of my mentors, someone that I really look to for multiple things in my life. I had the pleasure of getting to see my dad come to the faith as a small child. So when I was still a young child, but I can remember my dad not going to church, and then I can remember him going to church, and I can remember his conversion of coming to the faith. And so I've gotten to witness over these years a man who would sit home on Sunday mornings while we went to church to being a deacon in the church and one that serves faithfully today. And there are things about him that I want to mimic. I want to share with others. You know, one of the things that my dad has taught me over the years, and it's not because of the words he said, but the actions that he did. And it was the love that he has for God. He loves God with all of his heart. And one of the things he loves about him is all the things he has done for him, but how he loves other people. And my dad is one of the biggest encouragers of trying to get people to come to church. Every single Sunday morning, he sends out something on Facebook to friends inviting them to church because he knows the truth that's going to be taught there, and he wants others to hear that. And he is a firm believer in praying for your pastor. And he will encourage others to do the same thing. He encourages his pastor by letting him know that he's praying for him. And those are good qualities that I see in my dad, not that he has told me personally, but things I've witnessed of him. He's also shown me how to love my wife. I've watched my dad over the years love my mother more and more every single day. And that has been a beautiful thing to watch, and it has been an encouragement for me to do the same for my wife. And then he has also shared with me such love towards his kids, his sons, and the rest of his family. Those are just a few qualities of my dad that I would like to mimic. Because of how great those are. And I pray that in my life, I have done some things that my boys would like to carry on and do the same. Obviously, my dad wants me and my brother Michael to improve upon what he did, as I want Sean and Kobe to improve upon what I have done. But Timothy looks to Paul as that father figure, someone that he can go to for advice, someone he can look at and see, okay, this is how I need to be living my life. It's a beautiful relationship, and Paul is investing into him. This is, like I said, typically talked about in ministers, but it is applicable to all of us because God tells us that as followers of Christ that we are to go and to share who he is. This was not set aside for just pastors to do this. In fact, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, the first part of 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." You see, Timothy was a disciple of Paul. Paul encouraged him. He shared with him things. And Timothy was able to go to Paul for advice. When Jesus gave that great commission, it wasn't just to ministers. It doesn't start out by saying pastors. He's talking about to all of us. So we all need to have someone, if we are a follower of Christ, that we're discipling. Someone that we have taken under our wing, that we're sharing what we have learned over our years with them so they can be encouraged and they can do the same. It says, going on in verse 1, it says that be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we are strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So we receive grace through Jesus. You know, the New Testament itself, it refers to the unmerited to grace as the unmerited and freely given redeeming action of God through Christ by which sin is forgiven and its power broken, and believers are upheld and strengthened in their Christian life. We gain our strength from God through Christ Jesus. And as we are walking in this life, that's where we need to be getting our strength from. You know, I have something here, and I'm going to pick on Brennan. Brennan, what is this? Can you come up here and look at it? is that? It's a portable charger, okay? So it's like a power bank. You charge this up, and then what do you do with it, Brennan? You plug your phone or device into it, and this will then charge your device. Okay, so I want you to think about this. Now, whenever I get this brand new, I will charge this up, and that means that I can charge my phone forever with this, with that one charge, right? No, it doesn't. It has to be recharged, doesn't it? And you may, I mean, in this particular one here, you probably, this is not a very good one, you probably could charge up your cell phone maybe once from a complete, you know, if your phone was completely dead. But this has to be recharged. And so what you have to do is you have to go take the charger, plug it into the wall, and recharge this. And then, therefore, it can go out and portably charge your device, whatever it is, somewhere else. Now, I want you to kind of think about that as us. We have a call placed upon us to share who Jesus is to other people. And in doing that, it can be mentally and physically challenging at times. And just like this power bank will deplete its power, we will be discouraged and we will kind of lose some of our strength as we do that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, ministry is tough. And that's not just from the pastor standpoint. It's tough, period. And so we have to go back to the source and be recharged. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit in us depletes. I'm not saying it at all. Whenever I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he come in me fully. But there are times that I need to be recharged. And we see that in Scripture, that Jesus himself would spend time going to the Father himself. He would withdraw up into the mountains, and he would spend time praying with him to be recharged for his ministry that was to come. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy that just like how I have to recharge this to charge my device, that he himself needs to gain his strength from God. He needs to be recharged from him. When we try to charge ourselves, and we try to find the strength within ourselves, we are going to fail. And then we are doing ministry, not being in the ministry. Because we can do that all day long. We can act like we are good people. We can have some type of event here and do ministry great. And we could do it without God, but it would not be fruitful. But when we go to the source and we are charged by him, and through the grace that is offered through Jesus Christ, we receive the power that then can be pushed out to others for them to be encouraged. And hopefully for those who have not accepted Jesus to gain salvation through that. And so Paul is telling Timothy to make sure that you're being recharged in the right spot. And that is found in God through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." So I want us to think about that as we disciple someone else. And remember, as followers of Christ, we're called to do that. So be thinking about that. How are you encouraging the person that you're trying to help walk alongside with? Verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul has told Timothy that you have to entrust what you have learned to other people. That's what Paul was doing. He was entrusting to Timothy the things that he had learned for Timothy then to entrust it to others. But what I want to see before we even really dive into that is that Paul's testimony was verified by the witnesses around him. It says, you know, "These things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." Whether you like it or not, our life is on display for others. Whether you are a follower of Christ or not, whether you even believe in God or not, you are on display for others to see. You have witnesses in your life to who you are and what you do. What would those witnesses say about your life? Would they say things like, "Well, you know, he's this way on Monday and he's that way on Tuesday"? Would they say, "Well, all that she's concerned about is work"? How would the witnesses in your lifestyle and the people around you, what would they say about who you are? Paul's life was verified by witnesses of who he was in the faith and how much he loved God. So my question would be, is would witnesses verify my love for God? Or would there be something else in my life to be held more important to them? Because there's nothing more important than God. That's why I said what I said about my dad. The very first thing is because I know my dad loves God. That's important to him. And when he has that in check, everything else falls into place. So what we hold most in value is what our witnesses are going to see in us. And so be thinking about that. What am I portraying to other people? Because you're on display. You know, I've said it for years to youth. People are watching you. It sounds creepy, I know it, but they really are. Especially if they know that you're a follower of Christ. Because they're wanting to see how you're going to handle different situations. They're going to want to know how you handle things that are great, and they're really going to know how you handle things that are bad. And our faith in God can help us through those and be encouragement to those who are witnessing our lifestyle. I'm so thankful for a God that I can go to no matter what. And I pray that you're placing him first in his life. And I pray I do the same thing for witnesses to verify my faith, just like the witnesses verified Paul's. It also showed that what Paul was saying was truth. And so Timothy could actually hear what Paul said and know he is speaking truth. You see, witnesses were important in biblical times. You had to have multiple witnesses to be verified as being true. That was part of the Jewish culture. And that's why you hear Jesus talking about that with witnesses in the book of John. And so having those witnesses to verify who Paul is very, very important for them to understand that what he is speaking is real and something that needs to be listened to. So just like how Paul has entrusted this to Timothy, he is now telling Timothy to do the same thing. You need to find someone that you can entrust these things to. He doesn't want the gospel to die in a particular spot. It needs to be encouraged to go on. And this is a model that is still used today, nearly 2,000 years after it was first started. I don't know about you, but it seems to be a pattern that works. And it's going to work as long as we as followers of Christ do what's been set for us before us and do the example that's been given. We need to find faithful men and women that will be encouraged and entrusted with what God is teaching us, the things that we have learned, for them to gain that knowledge, for then them to find someone else to do the same thing. It's kind of like when you line dominoes up in a line. You ever did that? You know, and then you push that one and they all fall down? Well, if there's that gap that's just a little too far and it falls, it doesn't hit the next one, then the whole progress stops. Paul is telling Timothy he needs to be encouraged to find someone else to be faithful and be entrusted with, and then they need to find someone else that they can entrust these things with, then they need to find someone else. It's just a domino effect on down and down and down. And these men need to be faithful, and their integrity needs to be just right. This was to ensure that the gospel doesn't stop, it doesn't die. You know, Matthew Henry, one of the commentary, I love his commentary. One of my friends here at church got me this book, probably about a year or two ago, and I love reading it. It says that what Paul was giving to Timothy was a sacred deposit. And I love that because he is pouring out something that is so holy to him for him to then pass it on to someone else. Verse 3 and 4. I love how these next three examples are given. Paul gives examples of what it is to walk in the Christian life, and it's a beautiful way of doing it. He relates it with different fields of type of working that you have during that time, and all of them are still relatable to us today. And it's also something really good for us to practice as we are sharing Christ to other people is basically to share what we know, the testimony that we have. And so Paul intentionally places three different examples of things that the people will understand, that Timothy will understand. So verse 3 and 4, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. We are to join others in the fight. Ministry can be hard. I said that a while ago. It can. It can be very hard. It can be hard for the pastor. It can be hard for someone that's teaching Sunday school, for just anyone that is going out to share the gospel. It can be very difficult. What I love, and this is one of the reasons why I chose the NASB for this morning, is I love the way that it words. It says, suffer hardship with me. So Paul is looking at Timothy and say, suffer these hardships with me. He's saying, we're joining in the fight together. You're not doing this on your own, but you're being surrounded with other people. Yes, it can be tough. And there are times in life where it's great. Everything's going perfectly, but we all know life doesn't stay that way. And that we're going to have hardships. But the beautiful thing about God's people is that we go through this together. I never want anyone in our church or any church to feel alone, because we are the church together. And just like Paul is encouraging Timothy, he's not saying, Timothy, you're going to have this problem. He's saying, we're going to have this together. And Paul's going to be there to encourage him as they go through this. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, we will have hard times in ministry. We will. That's going to happen. You see that throughout Scripture. I'm not really sure. You can point it out to me if I'm wrong, but I cannot imagine anyone that had some type of ministry in the Bible that their whole ministry was just perfect. We know Jesus himself had some hard times in his ministry that he had. So we need to understand that when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we truly want to live out a discipleship type of life, there's going to be difficulty. But we're not alone in that. We have each other, but most importantly, we have God himself. Now, I want us to look at the soldier's aim, because this is important. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So our aim is to please God, and our integrity must keep us a good soldier. I think it's a great example of us as we are followers of Jesus to see that soldier example. Because a soldier, whenever they commit to that lifestyle, they have basically given up themselves. Their personal problems and all that, I mean, they leave everything behind. And a good soldier's aim is not for themselves, but for the protection of others around them. We, as followers of Christ, we can actually join in that and have that a good aim towards, like a soldier. You know, we can show our love to God, our devotion to God, and our service to others. We can be a good soldier for God. And we should want to be able to say what Paul said. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We should be able to say at the end of our life, we have fought the good fight. Now, this is not a prideful thing that Paul is saying at all. He has lived his life for God, and he has pushed everything he possibly can once he was converted to salvation, and we should have that same aim. Verse 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So good athletes train. That's just a common, I mean, we know that, right? I mean, if you're a good athlete, you're going to train. They push themselves beyond their limits, and they do not stay in their comfort zones. If it's a great athlete, they're going to push themselves. They're not going to accept that this is the limit of who I am. They want to be better at it, and they push, and they have the discipline for that. Good athletes have the discipline. They have structure, and they develop good habits. And a good athlete doesn't cut corners. Now, we live in a society that we see lots of athletes that are trying to cut corners. And when they do that, they get caught, and they don't receive the prize. What God is saying here through Paul is that, you know, an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So good athletes don't cut corners. They obey the rules. They learn these rules, and they demand their bodies to follow them, and they adjust to them. Just like that athlete and the things that he does or she does, it can be resembled in our Christian walk. We need to push ourselves beyond our limits. If you've never been in a situation where you are sharing God to someone and you have felt the Holy Spirit come over you and help in that situation, you're not pushing yourself hard enough. What you're doing is you're allowing yourself to do it in your own power. The same Holy Spirit that was in the disciples is the same Holy Spirit we have in ours. We need to push ourselves to the limit. Let the Holy Spirit take over and come out of us, because when that happens, the person that witnesses gets to see Jesus. So we need to push ourselves past our limits to get out of our comfort zones. It is easy. I'm an introvert by nature. I don't like to speak. I don't like to do that. It would be easier for me just to hide. But I have been addicted to Jesus for quite a while now. And I want you, if you've not felt that, to feel it. But those are characteristics that we need to follow as followers of Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember that they're crowned for obeying the rules. I just read 2 Timothy 4:7-8, and in verse 8 it says, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There's an end goal here, guys. There's an end goal that God is going to give us, and it is a beautiful end goal. Verse 6 says, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of crops. Now, I did some searching on this because I was wondering, you know, what do people say about farmers, okay? Because I'm not a farmer. I actually work for a plant farm, but trust me, I can't grow anything. But this is what when I did a Google search, this is what it said. What are farmers known for? And here's just a few of them. On smaller farms, there are 0 days off. Farming is both a lifestyle and a job. The walk out to the garden is a short commute. You need to be good at physical labor, critical thinking, and running a business. And there are peaceful, relaxing parts of the job. That was just a few things that it talks about as a farmer. Now, I want you to really think about that. That's almost talking just about Christian life. I mean, just think about it. Okay, so there are 0 days off. Farming is both a lifestyle and a job. That's our Christian life itself. The walk out into the garden is a short commute. Well, just look around you, because we have our mission field here, and when we walk out the door, the mission field is right there. There's no commute for it. Sometimes ministry calls for, you know, physical labor. It definitely calls for critical thinking and the managing of things that we have. And there are peaceful, relaxing parts of the job. If you've not had your quiet time where you sit back and you just get to hear from God, you're missing out. That is a beautiful time of relaxing back in the Savior himself. I just think that is perfectly fitting for the Christian walk, seeing that is what farmers do. So ministry, excuse me, that blessing, the blessing is received at the after a farmer waits for that crop to grow. I kind of jumped ahead there. So a farmer plants something. They have to be patient. They have to wait for it to grow and ripen before they harvest it. It's not something that happens immediately. Like I said, I work for a plant farm. We have grow times for this, okay? So, like, if you're going to put a seed here, you have X amount of weeks before it's ready to then transplant into the final product. Then that has X amount of weeks that it has to grow before it can be sold, okay? It takes a while. You have to be patient. Anybody in here not a patient person? Yeah, Chris, boy, that was quick, man. I mean, your hand went up fast. I am not a patient person at all. I'm not, and Kobe will tell you, if he's in here, I think he's back there helping his mom. I am not a patient person, but I'm working on that. But that is part of ministry. We have to realize that just because we share the gospel now doesn't mean that person's going to accept who Jesus is right then. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen later on. We have to be patient and see that the end goal is going to happen. When we plant seeds of the gospel, there are times it may be years before it ripens and is set to harvest. We also have to come to the reality of the fact that that person may not come to know Jesus Christ. And that's tough. But our goal is not to save them themselves. Our goal is to share who Jesus is to them. Jesus does the saving. If we have planted the seed, we have done what he's asked us to do. And then someone else can come and water that seed. And then someone else may come and harvest that seed. James 5:7 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. There is an end goal here in ministry. I want to end with verse 7. It says, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So, Paul is instructing Timothy to consider all that I'm sharing with you, and that understanding is going to come from God. That second part of verse 7 is almost a prayer that Paul is praying for him. It says, "For the Lord will give you understanding in everything." He's almost praying there, saying, Timothy, you know, God, help him to understand. As you are discipling someone else, you need to be praying for them that they understand, that God is enlightening them to the facts of what you're teaching them. Paul is a beautiful example of taking Timothy in and sharing with him the things that he has learned. I want you to really think about yourself. I want you to think about, am I doing what God has called me to do? Because if I accepted him as my Savior, he has called you to make disciples. And if you're not discipling someone else, pray that God will show who that person is for you. And maybe you need to go back to the person that helped lead you to the Lord, if you can. You know, I have men that back in East Texas. I've been here, believe it or not, a little over 4 years now. God is good, and I'm so thankful for that. But there are still times I have to call back to some of my mentors back in East Texas and say, okay, I need to know what to do. And it is great that I have friendships that I can do that with. And so maybe you need to reconnect with someone in the past that sets you in the straight ways and say, okay, I need you to help me understand how I can disciple someone else. I don't want us to think that this is only the role of Pastor Scott, is to take someone under and disciple them. It is all of us, it's all of our jobs to do that. We are all called to disciple. God asked me to share this with you this morning, and it is a beautiful thing to disciple someone else. I've had the distinct honor of watching so many kids grow up and seeing how their love and faith for God has just grown. It is so encouraging to me. A few months ago, I had a friend of mine, one of my former youths named Jeremy, came, and he spoke to the youth a little bit. He's in the Navy now. This past Friday night, I got to pick him up at the airport, and he's in for a wedding. But I can remember him whenever he was in the youth group years ago, and he's always been a great guy. But I've gotten to watch him grow physically and spiritually to the point where he has now come to me and said, I'm helping to lead a boys group on Tuesday nights in my church. And that is such an encouragement to me, to see him being, you know, as he's learned from God, learned from others, and now he is taking what he's learned and encouraging others. You know how it feels when you're encouraged by someone else? How it makes you feel better and how it redirects you at times? Don't you want to be a blessing for someone else and help them in that way? So be praying to God about who you should be discipling if you're not discipling someone else. And if you are discipling them, pray that you're discipling them in the right way and that we have the integrity they see what we're saying is true, as Paul was showing Timothy. So I have the last slide with kind of all the points that we have for the evening or the morning, in case you didn't get to write those down. But I am so thankful for these scriptures. It's such an encouragement to me to remind me that I need to disciple others, that I need to share who Jesus is. So the sermon this morning is more towards those who have believed in Jesus and placed their faith and trust in him already. You may be sitting here this morning like, I don't really understand what that even means. And I want you to understand the importance of Jesus Christ and the opportunities that are awakened for us when we place our trust in him. If that's you tonight or this morning, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk to you this morning. There are other people in this church that would love to talk to you. Have you just been caught up in just doing ministry? Because there's been adults before who've done ministry for years that come to know who come to salvation later on because they've just simply been doing ministry. If that is you, if you have not truly placed your trust in him, I want to talk to you today. There are other people here who want to talk to you today. Don't wait. Because Jesus opens up so many things for us. And the most important thing is our eternal life that we can have with him. I hope that you were encouraged this morning by the scriptures that God gave me, because it was such an encouragement to me. Let's pray, and I have a few announcements to share with you. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you so much for the example that we see in Paul and how he poured out into Timothy and how Timothy was told to then pour it out to someone else. Father, we here at Bear Creek, Lord, we want to be fed by you for us to go out and to feed others. Father, you have called us as followers to be disciples and to make disciples. So Father, place someone in front of us that we can share your love towards, and we can encourage them and help them grow closer to you. Father, again, I pray for Pastor Scott this weekend. Pray he has a good time and a relaxing time. It's your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.